Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, it's Dynamite Show, Paul Fontaine, alongside Jeff Hawkins here on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel, if you're watching or listening live, and also the next day on the Fight Game Media free audio feed. Want to thank you all for subscribing. And Jeff, Blood and Guts tonight in Nashville. They got, I didn't check the final attendance, but the last I saw they got up to just over 5,000. And last time in the building was 4,700, so they're up. Even though they had to do it, Blood and Guts to do it. But hey, up is up. And we're going to talk about that show in a bit. But just a couple news items before we get going. And I know John, regular listener slash watcher, is at the show. So maybe he's going to update us.
He's in the comments right now. Yes.
Yeah.
He's watching Rampage starting right now. If you don't want to be spoiled, don't read the comments.
Yeah, I'll try to. Maybe I'll.
Don't do them on the air.
He's going to post them. Yeah, I won't say them on the air. I'll put them up on the screen. And if you want to, for spoilers, they're easy to find. But I have some thoughts on who I think is going to win that Rampage Battle Royal, especially after Blood and Guts. But before we get into that, as we've talked about on the show before, Tony Khan at the last press conference, which I think is like a month ago now, said they're in the red zone. They're having a hard time putting that ball over the line, to the point where I think Tony's flying to Paris to meet with his good buddy Zaz to talk while they watch some rowing or repechage or maybe some fencing.
Team handball. We're going with team handball. That's
break dancing. Break dancing.
Oh, that's right. Break dancing.
Yeah, yeah. So because WBD today. So they matched the NBC, I believe it was NBC offer. No, it was Amazon Prime's offer. Amazon Prime's offer for their portion of the NBA coverage. And WBD or NBA rejected their offer, said this isn't true matching. And they explained why. And some of it is because they're leveraged to the hilt and they offered a line of credit instead of cash up front, which...
The barter system generally doesn't work.
No.
In modern day, may I interest you in this lovely wheel of cheese, perhaps, for your NBA rights, sir?
Tony Khan. Hold on.
I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a Laker game today.
Tony Khan is more than happy to take their hamburger or their promise of a payment of a future hamburger. NBC or a NBA is not falling for that. And so now this is probably going to end up in the courts because, yeah.
You've seen Beverly Hills Cop 2, right?
Yeah.
The scene with Gilbert Gottfried and the parking tickets. Is there something in this hand here that I could give you that could make the stuff in this hand possibly go away?
Okay. No, I...
I'm imagining them going, maybe we can trick the NBA. You make loud noises in the back of the room and I'll sign the deal while he's not looking.
When I first heard about this, okay, my first thought was, okay, you know, they don't really want to be on WWE anymore. They want to be on Prime because they're worldwide. They're going to be in 200 million homes, all this stuff. And then when I found out that part of the deal was a line of credit as part of the, like, the first 3 years payment or something, I was like, well, of course you're going to not
look, that,
accept
that
the
Charles
offer.
Barkley food budget ain't going to pay for itself.
Yeah, no.
And Shaq's there now, too. So
yeah. And Caitlin Clark's got to eat, too, you know. yeah, so, man. So it's not looking good. And then, but what does that mean? Does that mean WBD has more money to pay for AEW, or does that mean they don't get any more carriage fees and now they got no money coming in and they can't pay for AEW? I don't know what that means.
I would go with the latter. I think we're going to go into extreme belt tightening mode. I think AEW leaked that there was a deal in principle to try and force the issue, because now Zaslav has every, I mean, look, they're looking at resplitting Discover and Warner Brothers. This has been such a bad move, and it's not because Discovery wasn't a profitable business. It's because Warner Brothers was an absolute mess. And I know people are putting this on Zaslav. Well, if Zaslav weren't so cheap and he would have put out Batwoman the movie, it would have been... I don't think so. I think Warner Brothers over-leveraged, especially on the DC Comics properties, in terms of making new franchises to be able to, stake their claim on. And then movie theaters closed and that killed them, because the one good, decent DC movie that they put out instantly on HBO Max, which was The Suicide Squad. And now he's looking at basically going back to square one on the deal and saying, I want Discovery separate, because that thing goes for cheap. It's cheap programming and it makes a lot of money. This is expensive programming and not enough people watch it. And I think AEW might be a tax write-off. It might be a tax write-off. I think now we are at the point where we should be possibly talking that they may go elsewhere.
Well, I mean, it's in their best interest to negotiate elsewhere. If I had to guess, I would say they will end up back on WBD and they will get a good deal. But what worries me is that there may not be anybody watching these stations. They may not even get put on TNT or TBS. They may end up on True TV.
True TV. That was my call. I think Dynamite stays on TBS, possibly. Unless we can run more reruns of The Big Bang Theory.
But, I mean, even if they are on TBS, who's going to be watching? Because, you know, like, that's the thing. Like, yeah, I guess a lot of people still watch TBS, but...
But here's the thing. I mean, you're getting 700,000 to 800,000 live still. That's not a bad number, Paul.
Not at all.
But the problem is The Big Bang Theory still does all over a million for a rerun.
But how many cable companies are going to keep carrying TBS if TNT doesn't have the NBA? Because I think TNT and TBS are a package deal. They're on the same tiers.
A lot. I mean, it's a lot like USA. I mean, it really is. I mean, TBS and TNT have been staples of basic cable for a long, long time. And the NBA just increased it. Now, I will grant you that they may have walked in with giant brass balls and told the cable companies, we want this much per subscriber, kind of like ESPN did back in the day. And that may, and you know what? If they did, they're going to have to eat some crow. They are. I don't see anybody dumping them from a basic cable, because basic cable is trying to hold on to whoever they can get at this point.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they just may not get the same kind of fees.
No.
Yeah.
They're not going to get the same kind of fees. Zaslav and his lawyers may just, you know, Tony comes in for his contract and they pull out their pockets and go, how much you got? And yours kind of a thing, and plead poverty. I thought they leveraged this when they came in, that they said the deal was in principle done, and then they're going to try and spike the ratings here to go in for upcharge. And now I think the opposite might happen. I think WBD may come in and go, look, we don't have the NBA. We ain't got enough money coming in. We may need to downgrade this deal.
Well, the funny thing about that is they stacked all these shows, and then for a bunch of weeks, the ratings were down.
Yes.
And then last week, they did a big number. And, you know, and you thought, okay, well, it's that MJF Ospreay match. But then I find out when I'm reading the Wrestling Observer on Monday, it came out on Friday. I didn't read it till Monday. Nobody reported this. I don't even know if you know this.
I probably don't.
The Big Bang Theory that aired before Dynamite did 970,000 right? viewers.
Yeah.
So they actually dropped.
Yes, they are losing. They are losing viewers.
Yes, but in wrestling. The past, like they've been doing, you know, 600,000 to 700,000. For some reason, this week a bunch of people watched The Big Bang Theory. So a month ago, when on Juneteenth, when they were down. Oh, it's because of Black Panther, because they did a bad number. So that's why the Dynamite rating was down. But when Dynamite's up, oh, it's because of Dynamite that it's up.
You can make any narrative you want.
I know. That's
it's one of those things that has driven me crazy over the past couple of years is that people make up the narrative for whatever they want it to be for hour. They go, oh, you know, it's like, I love Dave. Well, it's summer and people want to be outside for longer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tonight.
Show me the correlation on those numbers there, Dave.
I will tell you this, and I'll make an excuse. Our live numbers right now for this show are down.
It's because people hate me. People loathe Jeff Hawkins.
It's because everyone watched the freaking presidential speech, and nobody watched Dynamite, so they don't want to talk about it because they don't want to be spoiled. Maybe they're PBR.
Okay, that could be it, too.
Maybe they just don't even care about it. But my point is that I don't think a lot of people watch tonight's show. Because that speech, maybe they tuned
TBS
in.
TBS is bringing back Friends, right? Is it for like the 30th anniversary or whatever?
Oh, really? I heard that, but
in terms of reruns,
that'd be a good lead in.
I'm thinking it might replace it. 2 hour block of Friends,
too. Yeah, and then put Dynamite on at 10.
All these aging Gen Xers at home now.
You know what? I just said that out loud, but that would actually make a lot of sense, especially with the content. Like they could put it on from 10 till midnight. Put Dynamite on, tape it earlier, and then air it at 10?
Well, maybe. I mean, they're running Modern Family now, which is still a bonanza for them. But, this is going to be weird. This whole thing's going to be weird, and the economy is making it even weirder. It really is.
And I think with the Olympics, I don't think we're getting anything in the next 2 weeks.
No.
That's my prediction.
They're going to wait to see what the ratings on the Olympics are.
Oh, someone in our chat forgot that Biden was speaking tonight, so I guess we're going to lose him in a minute. Well, go back and watch it on the PVR.
speaking in the loosest sense of the term.
Yeah. he might have forgot, too. too soon?
No, not at all for me.
All right. The other thing we want to talk, and Curry had mentioned a little while ago, and this is not really a spoiler, Brian Cage was in the ring at the Rampage. And because it wouldn't be an AEW Battle Royal without Brian Cage in it. Speaking of Brian Cage, his significant other recently got a job at AEW, which
I am blown away by. I did not have this on my bingo card. You know what? I did have it on my bingo card, and then I didn't have it on my bingo card.
Oh yeah, like 3 years ago, maybe.
I thought. You know, okay, maybe they do, and because Cage is there, he'll go, hey, can you get my wife a gig? But are there any significant others who have done wrestling broadcasting who are not yet hired by AEW now that we've brought on both her and Alicia Atout for another run?
I guess is
Jen Sturger still looking for a gig possibly in wrestling?
Kayla Braxton?
Kayla doesn't want to do wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Kayla's doing straight acting.
She'd still be in WWE if she wanted to.
Yes. Yeah. She said that. No, she is she's doing movies and Instagram partnerships and just trying to make the hustle.
God knows AEW needs another backstage interviewer.
We might have more we have more backstage interviewers and tag teams at this point, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then we start off the show with Alex Marvez. I'm like, what? Okay, cool. But yes, we have a plethora of backstage interviewers to ask, how are you feeling right now? And to dress in nice clothing. It's nothing against Melissa Santos. She's okay. I was never blown away.
Because of how vocal she was.
Maybe as a ring announcer, Although, yeah. Aren't we using the ROH guy as the secondary announcer?
Yeah, we got the ROH guy, and we've also got Arcady, who's been doing it too.
Arcady's been doing it now? Okay. Well, yeah. Why'd we get rid of Dasha? Dasha was perfectly cromulent. I don't understand
because
that either.
She screwed up somebody's name once. That's what I was told.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Really? And Arcady did it too because I was there, and she called Darius Martin Action Andretti.
Yeah, but on the other hand, Arcady was hired to be a backstage interviewer for Rampage or whatever. So, I'm like, okay, we have all these. Is Renee taking time off? Is that the deal? Yeah. No, Lexi Nair is great.
She's hanging out backstage before the show on a thing talking to Daniel Bryan.
The issue with Lexi is they've now made it difficult for her because they've made her a playable character on Ring of Honor.
Sometimes.
Yes, when Ember's involved or whatever,
Or Dalton. Every other time she's just a straight interviewer.
Yeah.
So they hired her despite the fact that she was very vocal about the fact that her husband wasn't getting pushed. And then they proceeded to give him a big time contract and stop pushing him.
She's going to pull a Kanellis and go in
this freaking battle royal. This is a typical, I'm not spoiling anything, but this is every battle
royal. This is the most rampagey battle royal we've ever heard of. Let's get to the show.
And it's for a world title shot at Grand Slam Dynamite. Well, no,
it's for a title shot.
No. It's a world title shot.
World title?
World title shot at Grand Slam Dynamite, which is 2 months from now. And we've got Wembley between now and then. I mean, on one hand, I'm impressed. On another hand, I'm like, what? It is a world title shot, trust me. Okay. And I know who's gonna win. I'll tell you right now who's gonna win, and he's not even in the match. Hangman's gonna win.
Okay.
Hangman's gonna be in it after Blood and Guts, because as we'll talk about, he vanished during that. This show, AEW Dynamite from Nashville, again, no graphics. They got rid of the Elton John song on Collision, and
I was saddened by that.
Yeah, and then here on Dynamite, it's been like a month since we've had an opening credit song. So I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Light the fuse. Dynamite. We got a cold open with Alex Marvez, and he's in the parking lot of the hotel. And Will Ospreay has not made it to the building yet. And he finds him, and he's about to get in his car, and he finds out that someone put a knife in his tire. And we presume it was MJF.
In his not parked but running car.
Yes. His running car. And then he asks Alex, do you have a car? And he's, well, as a matter of fact, yes, I do. And so he gets in Alex's car, and then Alex is going to get in the passenger seat, and he says, oh, by the way, have you ever driven in America? And then Osprey's like, no. And then he takes off. How did you get to the hotel? Dumb.
He has a car there that he did not drive, but it's his car to get to the arena.
Yes, but he's never driven
in America.
Yes.
This joke sucked, by the way. Yeah. Happy that he didn't just leave Marvez there, and props to Marvez for getting the roller bag through the window on the first
show. He should have just left him there. He wasn't
mistreating. Let's not mistreat Alex Marvez. Fine.
How'd the cameraman get there? Why couldn't Ospreay just ridden with him? Sorry. Logic. Yeah. Anyways.
No, I did. And then they didn't mic the joke either. So you missed the punchline. And
was the punchline? The no? And then he takes off? Yeah. And then he takes off like he's an 8-year-old.
But then you have to hear Alex Marvez pretend to be because we didn't hear the no.
Because he's in the passenger seat, yeah, Alex Marvez. So we go back to the building, and we're going to hear from MJF, and they show highlights of the epic match from last week. And MJF is out; he's got a mic. Calls Will a gutless coward. Says he couldn't even beat that schmuck Swerve. So what makes him think he's going to beat me? And don't think I've forgotten about your belt chain. And he's shooting now, and fans are chanting, "Shut the fuck up." He says, I'm just waiting for the right moment to pounce. And when the spotlight is on, I shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright. Okay. And Will melts under the spotlight. He says, I beat Will Ospreay without breaking a damn sweat. It was the easiest match of my life. I beat him quickly and efficiently. The most dominant victory of all time by several wrestling analysts. And I thought that was funny.
And, no, shout out to me. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Might have been me too. I sent him a message and he actually sent me back one. Okay, just updating people on the Rampage thing if they want to know. All right. And so he says, and he says, hey, you know, don't mind me. It was the analyst that said it. And then he says, lucky for you, or no, what did he said? Oh, yeah. People would tell me to retire if I were, or people would tell you to retire if I were you. I'd take a long walk off a short pier. And he says, luckily for you, your grandma died recently. And you can dig a grave next to hers, but you better dig it a football field away from her tombstone because that fat skank deserves all the room she can get. Just the cheapest of cheap heat. And the fans, you know, didn't like it. He laughs at his own joke. And he says, moreover, let's talk about the fans. He says, why don't you, or let's talk about the facts. Why don't you come out here and face me like a man if you don't like what I have to say? Of course, he's the one that put the thing in Will's tire, so you know he's not going to come out. And he says, you won't because you're worthless. And speaking about worthless, let's talk about this international title, shall we? This title is held by workhorses. What a joke. Working hard is for poors like all of you. You guys like this belt? Because it was held. They all start chanting asshole. And because it was held by international talent, I'd have to watch you people pretend that people outside our great country matter. You're unpatriotic and treasonous. Mm-hmm. Is he like channeling Trump here? Mm-hmm. I deserve a title worthy of my superior talent and upbringing. This talent, much like Garcia, Willie, and all you dumb hicks, is nothing more than garbage. So he throws the belt in the trash can. I deserve a title that symbolizes the best wrestling in the world and the best country in the world. And I'm not talking about that third world cesspool known as the United Kingdom. Please rise for your American championship. Fans chant USA at this heel. On during 2 days before the Olympics are about to start, by the way, while the president is making a speech and the most important election in our country's history, which I think is every 4 years, they say that. Yes. And it's true, but whatever. And then he says, well, I appreciate the USA chants. I'm not talking about nasty ass Nashville. I'm talking about real America, the only America that matters. The most magical place in the world known as Plainview, Long Island, New York. So it's not just Long Island anymore. It's specifically the neighborhood of Plainview.
Yes.
Taz says, I've been to Plainview. It's not magic. Every once in a while, he gets a good line in. And this was his
one. The fan who, after he stopped this thing, he goes, go back to Poughkeepsie.
Yes, that was funny. He says, God bless the USA. God bless your American champion and your American hero, Maxwell Jacob Friedman. So all of a sudden, they start playing. Was it Stars and Stripes? It was not the anthem. Yeah, I think it was Stars and Stripes. And a big flag drops from the ceiling. He's replaced the stars in the flag with his own face. Just the most unrepentant
Paul, this promo was magic.
Yes.
Absolute magic. I adored this. Number one, because, look, he's right. The UK is a third world country. I love the people there. Third world, much like Canada.
Sorry, Daza.
I like Daza. I will sponsor.
Hey, wait a minute. You think Canada?
Green? Yes, I did.
No, where
every
second world?
Every country other than America is the third world, as far as I am concerned. That's my heel bit on the board, by the way. He was doing my heel bit from the figure four board, where I just call every country other than America the third world, just to tick people off occasionally.
He's on there. I think it's Skinny Pup.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
No, I love the flag with his faces.
Yeah,
I howled at that. I could do without the belt porn for a while where we're renaming titles, and I loved the
well, at least this belt has a history of it.
Yes, that's
it,
true.
It started as the Atlantic champ, Pox Wacky title.
This also fits MJF. Like, talking about the, I don't know, I hate this kind of wall breaking, but it also fits, so I'm kind of torn on this because I hate this is the workhorse title. Ugh. Yeah. But I like the response, yes, you poor. That's what works for it. It fits his character, but at the same time, you know, it's like the Miz breaking the Honky Tonk Man's record or something like that. Yeah. And both of those being like the longest reigning intercontinental title holders for some reason when it was the title of, you know, Mr. Perfect and Bret Hart and Tito Santana and Macho Man and stuff.
You mean the biggest heartthrob in wrestling history?
It's that you are dead on in that it is the cheapest of cheap heats, but is now the America title. And I did like the Tony and Taz conversation about changing the names of titles.
Yeah, I do like the American Championship is, I think it's way better.
It's a better name. Yes, it really is.
Yeah, and the title
international.
Looks nicer.
You want to know why? Because they don't really defend it all that much internationally. Except for the fact that they brought it up, that's going to be defended in CMLL.
Yeah. Next week. Did they mention that? Did they actually mention that? Okay.
Yeah, they mentioned that MJF is fighting.
He's fighting the winner of a tournament that's happening tomorrow.
Templario, I think it is. Yeah.
Well, they haven't. The tournament hasn't happened yet. We think it's
No. They said on the TV that he's defending his title against Templario.
Oh, right. It was yesterday. That's right. Yeah, the tournament was yesterday. Okay, yeah. So it's Templario. Yeah. So it's a random luchador.
I am kind of here to see MJF and CMLL. I got to be honest with you. That may get me to subscribe for a month.
If I had any kind of time, I would watch it. But do you know how much shit is on this weekend?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Not included. And my wife wants me to go to the beach. I'm like, God, do you realize
the horror of going to the beach during the summer?
No, there's so much wrestling to watch and the Olympics. Anyways, this wasn't over, by the way.
Canada's now winning a gold. Don't worry about it.
Not especially not on the weekend. We usually get our first gold about a week in when
we've already lost
on
soccer.
Suicide
That's
watch.
Right. The opening ceremonies hasn't happened. We're already dead ass behind in soccer. So
yeah, and we're cheating.
Well, okay, Ben Johnson smiles down.
Yeah.
You ain't cheating, you ain't alive. Trying. Let's finish this.
All right, so Will showed up. He chased him away from the ring, grabbed the mic, and he, between his accent and the audio and the fact that he was screaming into a mic, you could barely hear it, but I think he said, "You can try your best, but we ain't eating it." He says, "I was in the back, so allow me to tell
everyone." You're shoveling your S word and we're eating it or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. It's because they were also bleeping him.
Yes.
And he said, "I was in the back, so allow me to tell everyone what's going through your mind. You're breathing through your asshole. You knew you couldn't beat me. You reached into your trunks and went past your tiny little dick." And the fans chanted, "Tiny dick." "You pulled out that diamond ring, cracked it over my skull. You'd rather cheat than admit a guy like me is on your level. I'm here with the best that I'm. Right here. I'm here with the. I don't know. I'm here to put a smile
accent
on your face." He said, "I had a meeting with Tony Khan and Christopher Daniels." Keep this in mind, by the way, because I'm going to bring it up again and again.
Okay.
But he met with Tony Khan and Chris Daniels. "I've got my rematch, and I've got my rematch on home soil." Points at the All In sign. "Max, Sunday, August 25th. Great professional wrestler, saying the date and the location. "You and me for the international championship at All In." Max says he didn't agree to that. He and Will took the title out of the garbage, and that's that. So we're getting MJF Will Ospreay 2 at Wembley for the.
I did enjoy MJF's sell of the tiny dick.
Yeah, but now they're going to be chanting that every week, right?
Yes, of course they are. It's going to be intolerable.
Tiny balls.
It will probably be like a t-shirt or something. If it was Jericho, it would be a t-shirt.
Yeah, I don't know if Max is going to sell a t-shirt that says he has a tiny.
But yes, I will remind you at some point to bring up Tony Khan and Chris Daniels.
You won't need to remind me because it's in my notes.
Okay.
All right.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So,
you're wrong.
What am I wrong about?
The person that you said was going to win is not in the Battle Royal.
Huh. Okay. Well, out of this crew, I have no idea who's going to get a title match.
I think I know.
Slam Dynamite. I mean, there's one obvious, and I think he was first in.
No. Well, was he?
Oh, you know who? No, no.
Double J.
Second in. No, I think it's going to be Claudio.
Okay.
Yeah, because Claudio works against either Bryan Danielson or Swerve.
Double J works against Bryan Danielson because of the promo tonight.
He does, but not against Swerve. So if Bryan Danielson wins,
We told people we weren't going to say before. Spoilers. That's my fault.
We're not spoiling anything. Just who's in it, but I mean that shouldn't be a spoiler. Right. There's no surprises, by the way. That's a spoiler. We go backstage and speaking of what this person said, we'll talk to Christopher Daniels before he was out sleeping, because we go back and Chris Daniels is laid out and they got a coin and they're going to flip the coin for the man advantage. He flips it and it comes up elite, and he's got a ref there. So the ref checks it. Yep. Okay. You got the man advantage. And then Matt proceeds to show both sides of the coin to the camera to show that both sides said, like, why Tony Khan allowed this? I don't know.
Why did Bryce allow? Why don't they just look at Bryce and say, we have the man advantage, and then go on with it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're doing everything else. They threaten to fire Hangman later.
Yeah.
Nobody stopped them.
Exactly. Make them out of control bullies instead of this, look, we brought a prop with us. No, just be jerks.
Yeah. Just be blatant, yeah. And or even, you know what, if you want to,
we have the man advantage or you're fired, Bryce. Boom. Yeah.
Or you know what, they could even say, and I'd hate this in one sense, but it fits for the characters in another sense. They could just say, you know what, we always make a point of doing this stupid coin flip. The bad guys always win, so let's just skip the coin flip. We got the advantage. That's it.
Oh, I would have hated that. Yeah, no, that would have been dreadful.
Yeah. So next up is Chris Jericho versus Minoru Suzuki for the FTW title. Again, Minoru Suzuki's music was barely audible over the ring speakers. I think some of the fans heard it because you did hear the Kaza Hinare thing, but I mean, you barely could hear it on the broadcast. Maybe they're deliberately muting it. Maybe they don't have the rights for it or something. I don't know.
No, I think the mix is wrong.
Okay. All right. But we can hear all the other music. For some reason, it's just this one. So I don't know. But Jericho's chest was purple after two chops, and it got worse than that. They just chopped the living hell out of each other. Except I say that Jericho threw chops. Minoru chopped the hell out of Chris Jericho. I don't know what was going on here. on one sense, okay, John was there. He was raving about this match on X. I would have been raving if I was there live. As long as you shut your brain off and forget about the fact of Chris Jericho's entire character that he's doing right now, why would he do this? Like, it makes no sense at all. Like, none. Why would he just stand there and take these chops from Minoru Suzuki? Like, he's trying to prove a point. I don't know. They went on and on and on. And the fans got into it. Like, it was great. Jericho was pouring blood out of his chest. Aubrey couldn't keep a straight face at times. Just watching him take these chops. They went 5 minutes. They went through a break. They come back from the break. Minoru's still chopping him. At chop, chop, chop. And Jericho's throwing chops, but these chops, Suzuki's laughing every one of them off. Suzuki doesn't even have a mark on his chest. I think eventually it started to turn a little red. Jericho was literally bleeding through the thing. They finally go outside the ring. Suzuki bashed him into a table, beat on him with a chair, kneed him in the jaw. He pilmanized his hand. They went back to chops. Jericho's chest is like busted open again. He had a code breaker. Minoru kicked out at one. They start trading elbows. Minoru does his go-behind sleeper. Jericho reversed into the walls. Minoru countered that, did the go-behind sleeper again, went for a gotch pile driver. Jericho kicked him in the balls, hit the Judas effect, and pinned him. And had no help. Remember the Bad Apple and the Redwood were banned from ringside. Everyone assumed, okay, he's just going to bring in another Learning Tree member. Nope. No Learning Tree member. This match was awesome. It was a spectacle to watch, but it made no sense psychologically.
I'm torn on this match.
Me too.
I am, because I think Jericho and Suzuki just looks at each other and goes, you think we could just get away with doing one move for 20 minutes? And they did.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Flair Steamboat style chops where they sell each one either. The no-selling was part of the ridiculousness. And as I'm watching this, I'm going, this is so unrepentantly stupid. I like it, but they're not doing anything, which also makes it stupid, and I love that. But I also kind of hate the no-selling.
Well, you know, not doing anything except Jericho, like, literally got his chest.
Jericho's hurting, and Minoru's doing nothing. I wanted that to be the match, though, the whole time. Just the chop. Once we've established this bit.
Wrestling is fake, right? Like...
I get your point here, one move, just those two chopping each other until Jericho just says the hell with this low blow 1-2-3. I would have been fine with that, because
you know who the real Learning Tree is in AEW, right?
No,
freaking Kazuchika Okada. We're gonna talk about him later.
Hold off on your rage. All right, hold off.
Oh, mad.
But part of me just was like, I love this bit so much, and it's now reached the point of there's a thing in comedy. There's the rule of threes, and then there's the rule of 33, where something becomes not funny, and then it becomes funny as you continue to do it. That was this match. I just wanted the chops. I was watching this, and I'm howling, because I'm just like, just do the chops the entire time. Don't bail on the bit. Just do the chops. And then low blow, 1-2-3. That's all I wanted.
That's kind of basically what they did.
That's basically kind of what they did. Look, you get the Minoru Suzuki, this is who he is match.
It was not your standard Minoru.
But it wasn't standard either, and so it made it interesting. Jericho's laughing, and then he's selling the pain. That's what kills me about this match. If you watch some of those early chops, he smiles after he grimaces. It's so bizarre, and I loved it, and I gave it 13 stars out of 5. And
I give it 4.
I know, but I did adore this match. I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun until it became an actual match. Let's put it that
way. Well, I mean, to be fair, that was 30 seconds out of probably 12 minutes. So,
yes.
So after the match.
Do you agree with it? Kind of became fascinating watching where is this all they're going to do?
When they came back from the break and they were still chopping, I was like, okay.
Yes.
But then, I couldn't get out of my head that why would this Jericho character, who just last week, did you watch Rampage?
No.
He was texting during a match.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw that clip when they were doing the Outriders match.
So, you know, like, this guy doesn't want to do anything. And then all of a sudden, he's going to do a match where his
chest love Suzuki
is
doing the high guys. I don't know why that popped me.
That is good. So after the match, Suzuki just gets up and he hit Jericho with the pile driver. The fans cheered.
Yes.
And immediately he gets attacked by the Bad Apple and the Redwood because now the match is over. They can attack. And Shibata's music made the save. So they're all just waiting for Shibata. And of course, he comes from the other side. Attack Keith from behind, dump Big Bill. Keith comes back. It's 2-on-1, but Shibata got the advantage himself and beat on Keith and chased them both away. And that was that. So, and then we had Shibata and Minoru in the ring together, and they don't really like each other.
That's overbooked crap. Okay.
Yeah. okay. Dude, Rampage.
That was in reference to the battle royal that Curry has given us update on. Okay, let's continue.
Yeah. All right. So Renee interviewed Willow. And before she can get a word out, she gets attacked by Chris Statlander. She gave her Death Jolly Driver onto some boxes. She almost fell out of her top. She's wearing like a really loose top. And Stokely challenged her to eliminate her match for her CMLL title next week. And she says, get back to us and let us know. She's not really in a position to answer right now. And it looked like she was trying to answer as they went, as they cut away.
Yes, it did, because she was mic'd up.
Yeah.
Like, and Chris Statlander's jeans are ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah. In this. I mean, it's basically trying to pull off lingerie with jeans. It's almost something Maddie Rynkowski may pull off or something.
You know who she reminds me of? Maddie? It was total non sequitur, but we're going to bring up NXT again later. She reminds me of Blue Pants a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Just the...
Who just did her first level one improv show in Orlando.
Interesting. Didn't even think of
that. Stop paying attention to the chat. Come back to me. We're on the air.
All right. I'm going to star this one for later because I want to bring it up when I talk about that match. Okay. Kevin Ely's tweet. I'm going to come back to. So I did see your tweet, Kevin, but it's not timely right now.
I thought this was interesting. I liked just the directness of, although Willow had to know Chris was coming from behind.
Yeah. Yeah, because she was probably staring right at her. Like
Shout out to Kevin Ely for the so fine referencing.
Yeah, Ryan O'Neill.
He referenced that three people get, and I'm one of them, so I'm here for it.
Earlier today, Renee interviewed Bryan Danielson, and the whole interview is going to be available soon on the AW YouTube channel. The portion of it that I saw does not make me want to see the rest of it, because I already saw the best part, I'm pretty sure. He said, I've been talking to Doc Samson, he told me right now your neck is fixable, but we have to make sure it stays that way. So I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do my best and try to enjoy the moment. So I got the sense that tells me we're probably not going to see Danielson wrestle again until Wembley. Did you get that sense?
Yes.
Okay. So Jeff Jarrett shows up and he heard the whole conversation. So he says, you know better than anyone that I was crushed that I didn't win the Owen. In hindsight, as I look back over it, you overcame the odds. I didn't, and you're the perfect guy. I couldn't be more happy to raise your hand with the cup. Now you've got Wembley in your crosshairs, facing a champion who knows exactly what he needs to do. I understand you got to heal up mentally and physically, but it sounds like you got one foot out the door. Bryan, if you're going to go to All In, go freaking All In. A lot of people believe in you, and I'm at the very top of that list. And then he leaves. And Renee asks, where does that sit with you? And he smiles and he says, a lot of that's true. Guess I got some work to do. And he smiles.
He no-sold this, which killed me a little bit.
Oh, my God. I mean, he is so getting screwed, right? I mean, Jarrett's laying it on way too thick.
Maybe.
Yeah, like,
I mean, there's a part of me that thinks that Danielson loses it and then Jeff Jarrett loses it on him. I could also see this being kind of, okay, are we going to do some vignettes here where we kind of, when he says heal up, it's H-E-A-L or H-E-E-L. I mean, that could be an interesting mental journey with Jeff Jarrett going through it and how he has to toughen up for a guy like Swerve sort of a thing. But overall, I just think this was, this is Jarrett telling him to focus. And then what's going to happen is Brian, it ends in the beginning. Brian Danielson focuses. He still loses, and then maybe Jeff Jarrett gets angry that he wasted his opportunity.
Our esteemed leader, Gigi, I assume this was in the Discord, said that Jarrett was supposed to be Mickey to Danielson's Rocky. The problem there is that they missed the Rocky part of the story. We haven't really seen Danielson.
But right now, if what's happening in the Battle Royal is true, that means Danielson's going to go after Hangman probably first.
No, I mean, look at this. I don't think Hangman was actually in that match. Yeah.
Well, no, Hangman took Jeff Jarrett out in the match.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on here. Okay. Ace to Danielson's Punk 2 years ago. I like that one. Yeah, that was more what this looked like. Although even Punk didn't, I mean, Danielson.
I think they were just trying to baby him in Nashville.
That could be it.
Bring him, because when he came out to help unlock too, I mean, this is his hometown. It was just one of those things where it's like, we're going to baby you in your hometown finally because you've been being booed
all these years. Weird. Like it's, I don't know. It's so out of character for Jarrett, who never turned babyface, aside from a promo they showed on Collision that nobody saw. And then he did a match against Hangman, but I don't know. Britt Baker and Hikaru Shida. So Hikaru Shida got this match because she, quote unquote, beat Sky Blue on Collision. Sky Blue broke her ankle on a crossbody. I think Sky Blue was supposed to win that match, and this would have made more sense if it was Sky Blue and Britt Baker, but... Brian Alvarez said Sky Blue or Hikaru was always scheduled to win it. I have my doubts about that one.
Thoughts and prayers to James McDaniel in this trying time.
Yes, absolutely. And Hikaru Shida was acting like a half-assed heel in this match. They showed highlights of their rivalry during the intro, which was pretty good because, I mean, I think the most recent match was like 3 years ago, so there's probably a lot of new fans that hadn't
seen it. Someone in the chat or someone can get me on Twitter. Is Shida's... Is Shida doing Free Guy cosplay, the Jodie Comer character, or is it another video game character that I'm unaware of? Just help me out on that. But continue. Sorry, I like her outfit now.
Kevin, to answer your question, the Rampage match is for a world title shot at Grand Slam Dynamite. Just so you know, we talked about this earlier, and it was announced on Twitter. But
all right,
yeah, somebody, because I'm very interested in what Hikaru Shida was cosplaying.
I was
so. All right, that's good.
It's her best gear that she's ever had, I think.
So the crowd was chanting at the beginning, DMD, Shida, DMD or whatever, you know, let's go Shida, let's go Britt, whatever. But then once the actual match started, they were dead. They said it was 312 days since Britt last wrestled. Excalibur brought up that Monet doesn't want to defend the belt against her. Shida did a high knee to Britt while she's hanging over the ring apron, and they went to commercial. They come back. Shida's in control. Crowd's still dead. Tony told us Shida had 75 wins, which is the most of any woman. Britt made her come back. Crowd's still dead. She hit her with a sling blade, put on her glove. Excalibur filled us in on the finisher because a lot of people may not know it, and explained that about the nerve hold that Mercedes didn't know about, and that's why the hold didn't work when she used it last week. Shida took advantage while Britt was posing. She hit a German, then an armbar. Britt escaped. Shida put on a guillotine. Knee to the face by Shida, then an elbow to the face. Britt hit a super kick. Crowd starts to get into this at this point. They did a pin reversal spot. Britt hit a reverse the Falconero attempt, went for the lockjaw, but Shida made the ropes. She's going for her kendo stick, but she can't bring herself to grab it. So Britt hit the ripcord elbow and a snapping neckbreaker for two, went for the lockjaw. Shida reversed it. She hits a question mark kick and a Falcon Arrow. Then she goes for the katana, but Britt rolled through and put on the lockjaw, and Shida tapped right away, and that was the win. So she couldn't win because she couldn't bring herself to use the kendo stick. So it's the exact same thing as Will Ospreay.
Yes.
Or except Daniel Garcia.
Except she's going to turn heel.
I think she already did, but yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I thought,
although she was forgotten about seconds later, so who knows?
I thought this match had a lot of rough sledding in it. Let's put it that way.
They got there, but
It was rough sledding.
Yeah. So it was fine for her first match.
They were doing a lot of timing and choreography, and it wasn't gelling quite as well as it should have.
Huh.
Okay. No spoilers. Let's just keep going.
Yeah. Let's keep
going. Be a professional. Let's do this.
All right. So the match is over. And before Britt can celebrate, CEO music hits. Mercedes out with a cowboy hat.
God.
To pander to this crowd.
This outfit was awesome in so many ways.
Yeah. And I mean, she wasn't pandering. She was trying to get heat and it worked. She's got a mic. She said, that was very impressive. What a strong victory over a former champ. Now, Britt, I know you want a shot at my belt at All In. What would be hotter than the CEO versus the DMD? So let's get to it. You and everyone else are waiting for my answer. Well, the answer is no. And Britt's upset. And before she can respond, she gets attacked from behind by someone. The announcers are slightly confused at the beginning. The crowd has no idea who this is. And it is
They figure it out though. They figure it out when she finally turns and you can see her face on the camera and on the big screen. That's when they react.
You honestly think they knew who she was?
She's been in AEW before.
Like 5 years ago or whatever it was. It was during the pandemic.
I think there's a lot of people
there's no way more than 50 people in the building know who this was.
Okay, fine.
I didn't know who it was until they told me. And I've seen Camille. Like I
love this pairing.
It was good.
I've been calling for this. Now, here's my question. Given we had another angle tonight, or we had a debut, is Camille better off with Mercedes or with
Mariah? That's a good question. I mean, I think for the angle, I think it works better for Mercedes.
Yeah, the problem is they're going to rush this because we're less than a month away from All In, so we don't have that time to build Camille versus DMD. She's going to get beat within the next 2 weeks.
Well, no. What's going to happen is Britt's going to lose with the help of Camille, and then that's going to lead to a Camille-Britt match down the road. So Mercedes ain't losing this belt at Wembley.
Okay.
I don't think she's.
I'm good with that.
Belt, to be honest with you.
But I do like
the, Jonathan. And I like.
Oh, go ahead.
To answer your question, yeah, Sheeta would have been DQ'd. So,
I like Camille a lot. I've watched quite a bit of her.
John's had enough of Rampage. He's gone. Chris Statlander wrestled a jobber, and that's enough for John. He's got to go beat some traffic.
She got better on her promos in the NWA. I wouldn't say she's a great promo, but she's a presence, and she always has been a presence. And just massive that was enough. Woman. That was enough in the NWA.
I mean, if you've never seen Camille, she's tall and muscular.
I am shocked as hell that Hunter did not jump on this when he had the chance.
I think she's like probably bigger than Jade, I would think.
It's close. For those that don't know, she's close in height.
She's white. It's a good pairing with Mercedes. I like the pairing.
But I was absolutely gobsmacked that Hunter didn't sign her.
When she had the chance. Yeah.
And they talked. I mean, they had talks. They passed on her. And I was like, okay.
She's not great in the ring, but I don't think that matters.
Sid wasn't great in the ring, but he was over.
Yes. Oh, no, exactly. No.
She's better than Sid was. And
she should get over. I mean, if she's given the chance, she should get over.
Yes.
I mean, she should be a female
warrior. Well, she should get over, but this is a company that blew Wardlow twice.
Yes. And they give women less airtime than
they give women less airtime. And Tony concentrates on work rate rather than angle / character. So I'm a little worried.
Can you picture Camille getting squash matches on 7 straight Dynamites? I don't think so. But that's what it's going to take to get her over.
But you might get him on 7 straight Rampages.
Yeah. And then Tony will think she's over. Maybe. We'll see. But it was a good start. Good debut for her. By the end of this segment, everybody knew who she was. So that's good. She laid her out with a torture rack and a Death Valley driver. So that's the move of the night. We go backstage, and Nashville hasn't earned the right to see Christian Cage in person. So he's going to conduct his business backstage. This past Saturday, the Patriarchy won the Trios title. This Friday, my son Nick is entered into the Royal Rampage, and he'll become the number one contender. And he's earned the right to speak for himself. First, the Trios champ. All right, well, so they leave, and then he grabs a mic, and he says, first, I got a Trios champ, soon to be the number one contender to the world title. And then he stops because he sees someone over in the corner. It's, I think it's Tiger King. I'm not sure. It's Kip Sabian, but, I mean,
Thank God Excalibur said who this was after it happened, because I'd had no clue who it was.
And this is not the first time we've seen him. But I knew it wasn't Tiger King, but it looked a little like Tiger King.
No, it Kip Sabian has changed his look again. He's unrecognizable. He's gained some weight and a little bit of mass.
Yeah, he's got like...
He looks like Joe Hendry. That's a problem.
Well, I mean...
A little.
Like, I mean, you talk about a dime store version. This would be a penny store version of Joe Hendry.
I'm not making an apples-to-apples comparison. I said he looked a little like it, okay?
Kevin thought he was an outrunner. Yeah, that tracks.
I thought it was a Carino. I thought it might be a Carino. I was like, who is that?
he looked kind of like Scotty Too Hotty.
A little bit.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
Dark beard and bleach blonde hair. It could look like about 30 different
barely
people.
An accent. Like he had a little bit of an accent, but it was weird. But he didn't get to say much either. But anyways, he says he's also in the Royal Rampage. And he promised to throw him out. No one cares that your dad is dead. Be a man and suck it up. And here's where Excalibur told us that it was Kip Sabian. So it's like, okay.
I guess he was on Collision, I think.
Yeah, like there was one other scene where he showed up in a promo and he tried to get into the patriarchy and Christian blew him off. And then Excalibur chokeslammed him into a wall or something, I think.
You mean Luchasaurus?
I may have made that last part up.
Or Kill Switch or whatever his name is now.
Yeah. Where did I say
Luchasaurus? You said Excalibur.
Oh.
I was like, he's back? Awesome.
Oh, it's a guy in a mask.
We need a super dragon thing.
Yeah. So next we get Pac being introduced, and I'm like, oh, is he doing a promo? And like, they didn't advertise him or anything. And then I look and there's somebody in the ring. So he's, oh, I guess he's having a match. And it was Boulder from the Iron Savages. And we didn't get the standard promo from Jack Jameson where he talks about Titty City. Just got the match. Taz said that Pac's the favorite despite the size difference. You don't say. Excalibur points out that he's got an experience edge. They were trying to sell this match, but it was just basically a squash.
I'll give a plus one for the fat guy moonsault.
Yeah?
We like fat guy moonsaults on Shake Them Ropes, so yeah.
Pac, what I absolutely loved about this match, though, is that this was an old school squash match because Pac beat him with a suplex. Suplex, and he covered him with one knee.
Mid-South 1984 smiles on that one, yeah.
Yes, yeah. It's Harley Race in WWE. He did nothing, and he got the win. We go backstage, and we got a swerve promo. And so I don't know what the point of this squash match is. I guess they just have to fill time.
It was just to get Pac out there, I think.
I think they reminded us that he earned an international title.
They did. It was to get something over on commentary.
Except now there is no international title.
Correct.
Yeah. So.
And this is where Tony and Taz were talking about the FTW title and what Jericho did with that. And Taz threatened to beat up Tony.
Oh, yeah. Because it's called, what is it now? For the world. For the world.
For the world.
So Swerve does a promo. He asks his teammates if they're ready to get violent, and we're going to show the Elite what that's all about. Darby gets mad. He says, it's not about you. It's about the Elite and getting even with them. We don't see eye to eye. And then Max tries to break that up, Max Caster, and the babyfaces are all fighting. And then Anthony Bowen says it's about the Acclaim trying to get their belts back. And then Briscoe's had enough of this. And he says, simmer down, boy. Take it easy. Tonight, we're putting all that aside. We're Team AW. Elite, your game plan is divide and conquer. We can't get the violence. The violence people is here. We coming, baby. And that's that. So
I hate that you're continually going for the snippet we're going to put on YouTube with that impression because it's so good.
I don't know if we can get that. Maybe we can.
We might be able to. I like that Mark Briscoe brought them all together. I hated the bickering because I know what they're... I get it. Okay, so we're going to have this issue with the Elite later. So we have to bookend those two. No! They should all be on the same page going in.
Yes.
They're like, good guys. Let them be good guys, for God's sake.
It's bad enough that this team came together last week.
Nobody gives a damn about their can they coexist storyline that they're trying to shoehorn in here at the last second. No, they're fine. They're representing AEW. Go to it. That's all you need, man.
Yeah, yeah. But Briscoe brought them all together. So
yes,
that was great. The actual point of this whole segment was just so Mark Briscoe could do a promo.
It also just signaled. I thought Max Caster was turning for sure in this match because I'm just like, he is such an unlikable jerk in every promo leading up to this where he's the best wrestler in the world.
Darby, it's not about you, Swerve. I have an angle to set up for Wembley.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, he basically said that.
Yes,
I mean, he literally, I think he said, "I'm, you know, this is about Jack Perry and the TNT title." I'm like, I think that's
why. No, it's not. It's not about that. What are you talking about? Apparently, I'm thrown him off the team. They should have thrown him off the team at that moment. Exactly.
Apparently, it is.
Apparently, it is, which.
Yeah.
My hatred for, yeah, for the ending just we'll okay. Continue.
So Justin Roberts introduces the glamour Mariah May. Not the glamorous Mariah May, not the glamour girl Mariah May. She is the glamour Mariah May, which apparently was her old indie gimmick. So Tony loved it so much that he brought it back. And
it's amazing that Mariah May looks about 10 years older in this gimmick than she did during the other thing.
Although, I mean, that's not a bad thing.
Like, it's, no, I'm not saying that as a bad thing. I mean, she, but it's weird to me where it's just like, wow.
I don't understand the concept of a gimmick called the glamour. I'm going to have a really hard time with this one, but
it's just a nickname.
I know, but
I don't think it's a real gimmick. Well, she's going to be, I don't know.
The glamorous. Like, what's wrong with the glamorous? Why did it, like, I just don't understand.
Well, we went through that entire promo last week to get to this. Why?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
That was my problem with it.
So she comes out with the Owen belt, which is, I guess, nice, another belt, and they have bloody shoe, and she lays it on the ring steps. And I thought she was coming out for a promo, but there was a person in the ring. So it's a second straight squash match. And apparently her name was Caitlin Alexis. And
local
she gets
talent.
Yeah. She gets nailed in the face with a drop kick to start. Then she goes to the top rope, hits another drop kick. And I think she took a worse bump than Caitlin Alexis did off that drop kick. And this is where Excalibur calls her the glamour. She's beaten on her. She kisses her. The announcers are telling the story that she knew what she was doing the whole time. She manipulated Tony. They're gaslighting us.
Yes.
Mariah hits the Mayday. Crowd didn't react to any of this. And she won't cover. Then she put her in the corner, did the hip attack, did the Storm Zero. So they booed that because now she's back to copying Tony. And then she pinned her after the Storm Zero. And this was just basically a squash match. And
murder death. It was fine. But it also just got me thinking, man, Camille and Mariah might have been a stronger pairing.
I still want to see her and Harley
little,
as a team.
Little but... Beauty and the Beast thing. Yeah, oh, yeah. God. Harley Cameron's great with anybody. I'm fine. Yeah. I am on board with Harley Cameron because she just sells whatever.
Oh, I brought
this
up on the show you weren't on. That's what it was because I want that team, and I know they're good friends in real life. So
yeah.
So Tony's music plays and everyone thinks she's coming out, but then Mariah laughs and this got real heat because the fans were upset that they didn't get to see Tony. But then one of the it was a camera person or something in the ring and takes off their mask and it's Tony and of course they're behind Mariah's back, so the crowd's going
wait
nuts.
Hold on, the cameraman with the ridiculous wig was Tony? Oh my god.
Yes. It caught me until she took the thing off. I didn't realize.
I didn't notice it because they never shot the cameraman, so that was perfect.
Exactly.
I'm sure the people in the ring knew exactly.
Yeah, but they mentioned a scar on her head. I didn't see the scar, did you? Like,
no, but okay. They might be telling and not showing.
Yeah. They said it was a terrible scar. They brawled, crowd went nuts, the refs came down, security, fans are trying to let them fight. Mariah's got the best mean face. They focused on her a couple times. Like, this got a lot of heat. Tony screamed something into a mic. I couldn't hear it at first, but I wanted to hear it, so I actually rewound it to hear. And she said, "Are you ready to die? Because I am." And that was good. And so Tony did his Baby Jane makeup. Okay. Like, there's too many of these old movies that nobody's seen that they're referencing. It's going
they weren't
way over
really
my head.
Referencing so fine. That was just Kevin Healy doing a reference for me.
Okay. I actually read up on All About Eve. Somebody suggested that we watch All About Eve and do a recap of it and compare it to this angle.
I've seen it. I can do that.
Yeah, I don't. And they said they would listen to the show if we did. So maybe I'll ask Garrett. Maybe we'll do it. We'll do it as a special episode. But I read up on All About Eve, and from what I can see, I think that they got the rules backwards.
Possibly.
But I'll have to watch it and compare. Maybe we'll do that. But yeah, so this match is going to happen at Wembley. It's got a lot of heat. And
well, we didn't watch Sunset Boulevard for the original one, so we might. Although Sunset Boulevard's better to me.
Okay. Oh, so is that the original All About Eve? And then we can
No. It was the original thing for Tony's gimmick.
Oh yeah.
With Luther as the Eric von Stroheim character.
And then Tony came up with All About Eve.
And RJ City as William Holden's character floating in the pool.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
But then we can watch all Glamour Girl or Showgirl.
We can watch both. Mm-hmm. I'm fine.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
We got a video package for Blood and Guts, narrated by Dean Malenko. And it's probably the best promo Dean Malenko's ever cut in his career. It made the feud look a lot better than it was. They showed highlights of past matches and closed with him saying AEW presents Blood and Guts. And yeah, I mean, it was the video was probably better than the match. It was a really good video. Yeah.
How do we want to do this match? Do we want to go blow by blow? Do we want to get overall thoughts
necessarily.
First?
Okay. So overall thoughts, because yeah, there's a lot. I wrote down a lot. And we're already an hour in here. First of all, can I talk about Kazuchika Okada?
Floor is yours.
So I was curious about what was going to happen here. And of course, so everyone comes in and within the first two guys are Darby and Perry. And they're beating the hell out of each other, doing crazy spots like 2 minutes into the match. Briscoe's in later. He's busted up right away. Everyone's getting busted up. They're doing crazy moves, blah, blah, blah. So fast forward to Okada, who is the second last member to come in on the heel side. And he got a huge babyface pop when he comes in on this heel team. And he's got a Rainmaker drive sign. And he comes in and he takes out Bowens with the sign. And then he takes out Briscoe with the sign. Then he took out Darby with the sign. Then he pile drove Briscoe onto the sign. He kicked him in the balls, dropped kick a chair in his face, and Excalibur called him the bitch maker. So we come back from commercial and Okada's still beating on the baby faces. So he hasn't taken a bump. He hasn't done nothing. I spent the whole match watching Okada and I'm writing down all these wild spots that everyone's doing. And then I'll point out Okada's in the corner just watching this all go on. I think the only close to thing he took was a staple that probably didn't hit him. I think he took a pile driver at one point, but you know, his head probably came nowhere near the mat. He did nothing. He wasn't even sweating by the end of this match. There's people bleeding. There's guts. There's people flying off cages, going through tables. Okada walking the park. I love this man. He got through and he was in there for probably like 40 minutes. I don't know how long this match went, but
there was a phenomenon and you have to be within my little circle of friends back in 1987, 88 for this, When we rented the first two original War Games in the clamshell video cassette cases, one green, one orange, one from, I believe, the Omni, and the other one from the Orange Bowl. Lex Luger, in these things, would not bleed.
No?
Would not bleed. Would not. And my brother's friends are just chanting, "We want to see Lex bleed." That was me and Okada. That
was... Okay. So you wanted to see Okada bleed?
No, I just wanted to see him do stuff. And he came in there and got his finger stapled. Maybe.
I don't think he did.
No, he did not. He sold it. And it was a great move. But
yeah,
Okada's just like, "Yeah, I'll be in your match."
Yeah.
All right, I'll take a. I'm not doing nothing till I have to take the buckshot, and then that's it.
He took the buckshot. Yeah.
Now let me go into my rant about this, okay, man, shall we?
And I want to be very clear about this. I'm not throwing any shade on Okada.
No, neither am I.
Okay.
Overall, I enjoyed the match as a spectacle, and it ebbed and flowed for me. It was start out, I didn't like it because it was too much prop comedy, and then it got vicious, and then it got stupid, and it got stupid to a point where I couldn't watch it anymore because I'm just like, they're just doing set pieces and an angle in the middle of a War Games match. In television writing, you're told that one of the laziest tropes in screenwriting / television writing is the dream sequence. That's not to say it hasn't been well done before. I would point to the last episode of Newhart being a very good usage of it. But you're told that the dream sequence is lazy because it gives you Deus Ex Machinas and it gives you escapes for poor writing, when you should just be dealing with the reality of what you're doing in there. If you want to show a anti-hero of sorts and what kind of life he would have if he didn't have, if he didn't make the choices he made, you show it in the, within the world he lives in, not in he's dreaming of a different world to compare and contrast. It's called that. It's kind of how I feel about War Games matches now, in that I have said this before on this show. I've said this on my show. The stipulation should be enough for the storytelling. And you can bring all the props in the world in there. But the point of the War Games is to get all these people into this match, into this enclosed space, which is why they used to have the low-hanging roof, and to be a life-and-death struggle until one man quits.
Yeah.
And since it has been brought back both by NXT and now the main roster, and now with Blood and Guts. Do you remember the origin of the name Blood and Guts, by the way?
Yes, it was Vince McMahon called him a Blood and Guts promotion.
Correct.
And then Tony came up with the idea for a Blood and Guts match. This was right before the pandemic. They were supposed to actually have the first Blood and Guts match the day that the world shut down.
That is true.
Yeah.
And so what we have decided to do now is to think of every possible ramification of not doing an actual War Games match within the War Games. We're going to have a 5-minute walk and brawl around the cage before we ever get into the cage. We're going to throw all these things, and we're going to handcuff people to the roof. We're going to find a way for people to climb on top and do high spots, et cetera, et cetera. And for me, it's too much. For me, it's just, it's too much getting away from the point of the match. Now, that said, there are little things they could do that would help this, and one of them, and now both companies are doing this and it drives me nuts too, is I like the teams coming down as teams and standing there by the cage, and then the countdown starts, and then they have to go into the cage. They're rooting on the guy who's in there. They're pretending they're strategizing.
And then you maybe even have one guy that doesn't want to go in.
Exactly.
Like he's scared.
The Michael Hayes character during the 89 Bash War Games was like, I got to go in now?
Yeah.
Oh. You know, the drama of that. The drama of them watching the carnage as it unfolds, and maybe some are getting turned on by it, maybe some are getting turned off by it, and some are getting scared. and stuff. I make war games serious again. This is just every other type of this plunder match that we've started to do, and the high spots. And I get that people are bringing down props for set pieces and stuff. I'll let you get to your point in a sec, but let me get my bitching out of the way real quick.
Sorry.
And just it's one of those things where it's like, I want the fight. I want to see the fight and the struggle in there. And instead, I'm getting just another wrestling match with a cage around it. And I'm just like, you know, it's don't get me wrong. The plunder and stuff, it's brutal. It's beat down. It's great. People are bleeding. People are throwing themselves through tables. It's fine. But there was no drama in this match. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, you said something, and I want to talk about this point that Jonathan brought up here in a second, because it points into the next thing I want to say. But you said something about the point of the match, and the funny thing is like, what was the point of this match? Like, I still don't know, other than at the end of it, we got Darby threatening to light Jack Perry on fire unless he got a TNT title shot.
We have good guys threatening murder in a war games.
To get a TNT title
To get a mid-card title match.
Now, remember the fact. Well, and then, I don't want to... Okay.
Well, hold on. I want to answer your question first, because we talked about this last week. There were no stakes for this War Games match. If the Elite lost, the Elite didn't have to disband forever and could no longer be EVPs, because the whole point of this match was, we're sick of the EVPs and they're screwing up the show, so we got to get rid of them. But it wasn't that. It was so that Darby Allin could get a TNT title match at Wembley when he could have just knocked on a door and asked.
Okay. If you're on audio right now, fast forward 30 seconds, and if you're on video, mute us if you don't want a spoiler. Darby fucking won a world title match a half hour later.
Why?
I don't know.
This is so... This makes no damn... Oh, man, okay, if I had just... Hold on. It's like a Norm MacDonald bit, although, you know, if I had just waited a half hour, waited to see what happened with this thing, I would have never had to ask this
thing. The stakes could have been the winners choose their matches for All Out.
Yes.
Okay, not only that, remember back at the beginning of the show when MJF was out there and Will Ospreay shows up.
I almost burned
the
guy. What was I thinking?
I just had a meeting with Tony Khan and Christopher Daniels.
Yes.
And I got myself an international title match at Wembley.
You know who Darby is? Darby is the great Gonzo from the Muppet movie, where he's like, what's your dream? I'm going to Bombay, India to be a movie star. You don't go to Bombay, India. You go to Hollywood like we do. Sure, if you want to do it the easy way.
Yeah. Okay, but then we also had Britt Baker earlier wanting a TBS title match at Wembley.
And apparently you can say no. You can say no. No thanks.
But MJF said no. He's still got to defend the title. I didn't agree to that. Well, apparently you did.
Bring back open contracts again that are sitting on Jim Crockett's desk, and I have a signature on them. Oh, I have a signature on this too. There we go.
Now, remember that Danielson promo where he doesn't care about the world title?
Yeah, and he doesn't care about the world title. Here's Darby killing himself to live.
For a TNT title shot. But not only that, who did I say should have won the Owen? Do you remember?
Hangman.
Yes. When we got to the point in the match here, okay, so we've got 4-on-4 in the ring, and the heels have the advantage. They're beating on the baby faces. The baby faces are out, and everything stops. The music plays, and I'm like, it's like the spot where the baby face is supposed to come in and get them, except it's a heel, and Hangman's music hits, and nobody comes out. And we're like, what's going on? And nothing happens. So the heels just keep beating on the baby faces, but they're staring at the screen so long that finally the baby faces came back and they got the advantage. So by the time the allotted time, because they never actually told us how much time there was in between, regular intervals, I think is how they put it. So eventually the countdown comes and it swerve. And by this point, the baby faces are in control.
Yeah, and you know why? Because they didn't do the proper sell here of Okada being mad that Hangman didn't come out.
Correct. So now Swerve comes out.
And he turns it into the Smoky Mountain version of War Games, where you have to handcuff your opponent to eliminate them.
So there's a battle going on in the ring. Team AEW against the Elite, and it's a blood feud, and they're beating the shit out of each other. And Swerve's music hits, and Swerve saunters out with his belt on. Nana's doing his dance. Crockett is rolling over to scrape.
You know what? I was waiting for the member of the Acclaim that does Max Caster to do a rap before Max he came Caster in.
Come out with a mic. I thought he was
I thought
rap.
For sure. And then he starts attacking people. And I thought as soon as the Elite went down, hit my music. And he was going to do a rap or something. You know,
I would have shut it off.
I was kind of happy though. I'm watching this and I go, okay, nobody's doing the dumb crap. And then Swerve comes out. And Nana has his coffee cup. And
he's just dancing. Like, and then, of course. Thank God he gets beat from behind.
It's Jeff Hardy dancing before he makes the save.
Yes. And he gets beat for it. And Hangman shows up and he handcuffs Swerve to the cage. And then he's just beating on him. And Matt Jackson gets upset with him. And he's like, you agreed to be in this match. You get in this ring right now or you're going to be fired. So now apparently the Elite have the power to fire people. And so Hangman stops what he's doing and he goes in the ring and he immediately stares off with Okada.
I'm wondering what he's mad at, because he's just taken out the one guy that could even up the odds. Let him beat on Swerve for a while and then he'll come into the ring and take his time.
Well, I guess
you guys are 4-on-4. What's your problem?
He wanted to be 5-on-4.
Two of them are the Acclaimed. Why can't you handle the Acclaimed, for God's sake? Heels.
So anyways, we get back in there and a bunch of stuff going on, blah, 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 blah. You know, again, I wrote down a bunch. But we get to a point in this match where we got Swerve in one ring, everyone's down. We got Hangman in the other ring.
Yes.
And they're staring at each other, and this place went freaking nuts.
Yes, it was like a great moment.
This is your money match for Wembley. Like, I have no idea why Hangman and Swerve are not wrestling for the world title at Wembley. This is the match. And except we got Bryan Danielson, who couldn't give two shits about the world title wrestling for this match. And we've got Hangman and Swerve. I don't get it.
I wanted them to hold it longer, even. Yeah, I wanted them to just stare holes into each other.
Well, and Jonathan brings up, like, do you think they should have not even touched in this match to build anticipation further? I mean, maybe. I mean, they did touch. They didn't do much. They did a few things.
They didn't do much, but I swore. I mean, to bring back Kevin's point, I thought the Elite was going to win this and Hangman was going to demand to get the match at Wembley. And then they would have screwed Brian, and then Brian can have it later. But look, this is Brian's big goodbye match in front of a major stadium, so they wanted it that way.
But they just, I don't know, and they got this match that is so hot.
I agree. And,
but
I'm afraid they're going to make it a three-way, and I don't want that.
So then the other thing I wanted to bring up was it was late in the match, they go to commercial, and we come back from commercial, and everything's changed. And whatever happened in this 3 minutes that I fast forwarded, like, the world fell apart. They're out of the cage. I guess somebody had cut a hole open. There's four tables set up on ringside.
What you're missing then, you've skipped ahead, is that Jeff Jarrett came out with a key.
Jeff Jarrett came out with the key. Yeah. This is an important point, actually.
Daddy Ass came out and sucked it to Brandon Cutler and hit him.
Yeah. Jeff Jarrett Nana had bolt cutters.
But Nana had pliers.
Oh,
wire pliers, right. Cutters. And the thing was,
that's how the cage got open.
That's how the cage got open, but the commentary completely undercut the fact that Jeff Jarrett is opening the handcuffs because they go, I guess keys don't work. He has bolt cutters. It's a pick. It's fine. Yeah. Let him get it open, and then Nana can be the hero to open the cage. But instead, they just totally blue ball Jarrett's efforts into this by saying, oh, look, Nana has bolt cutters to open up the...
Swerve is like tied up on the cage, and Jarrett comes out. I thought for sure Jarrett was joining Team Elite. I thought he was getting in that cage.
I thought it was him with the, him with the guitar.
Oh, yeah, he had the guitar. No, he hit. He laid out Cutler with the guitar. But
or I thought he was gonna. I think you're right. I thought he was gonna enter. I thought he was gonna enter the match. Swerve can't go. I'll be the hero for AEW, and then he'll lose. That's what I was thinking. I think it's like
So all that happens. That's how the cage gets open. So when we come back from commercial, they've got tables set up in the ringside, and I think it was. Okay, was it Max Caster or Anthony Bowens that was between the it was Max Caster, right? That was lying on table and he had two tables on top of two tables.
Yes, so and then he eventually escapes.
Does he escape before Anthony Bowens goes through the tables?
Yes.
Oh, okay, so I missed that because I was furious when 30 seconds later Max Caster shows up after
this. Kevin's right. Bowens was between
Bowens escaped and then climbed. Okay. Yes. And then he ends up going through the tables.
Yeah, Caster and Bowens were napping for a long time in this match.
Oh, I remember, I think it was Garrett that said he was hoping this would be Anthony Bowens coming out party. Well, pardon the expression. I mean, he came out a long time ago. But, you know, like in terms of a main event player, it just came out of my mouth. Okay.
I'll check with him tomorrow if he's at the gym, see how he's doing.
But did, you know, was it a star making performance for him? I don't
know. Yeah. No, in fact, Caster got more in this thing.
Oh, he got out and climbed, and then he got shoved off, and he goes through the table. So he's out.
I'm hoping they're doing an angle with Caster where he can't rap anymore because he got thumbtacks kicked in his mouth.
Hangman and Swerve apparently brawled outside the cage and went off the side of the stage or something, and so they were done. So we're down to basically 4-on-3 heels with the advantage. And we end up with a spot where Max Caster gets... Oh, I didn't even bring up earlier, the Elite had two suitcases. One of them had staple guns, and that's where they did the spot where everybody staples Swerve, and he goes nuts like he did when Hangman was drinking when he drank Hangman's blood or whatever it was.
I thought these were the shoes with the thumbtacks.
Yes.
I was so disappointed to see staple guns and handcuffs.
It was a suitcase full of handcuffs, but they only used one, and they handcuffed Jack Perry.
They used two.
Did they two? Okay, yeah, but they used two to handcuff Jack Perry to the cage. They're beating on him.
They used one on the Jackson at the ropes because remember he was the one who broke the deals and he couldn't get up to help. So I mean they used
Okada was taking a nap in the corner, so he couldn't do anything.
I was like, "How's my stock portfolio doing?"
Yeah, he's checking it on Twitter or whatever on his app. But anyways, so we get to the point where, you know, Darby, he goes under the ring, and I think everyone thought he was going to bring out the fire gun or whatever. Yeah,
I thought he had the blowtorch under there.
Yeah, but he brings out a can of gas, and he finds it all over Paige, and Paige is like, you know, he's trying to on Perry. Perry, by the way, who looked like a very tiny Brooks Jensen, and I tweeted that out, and the first like was one Ben Buchanan. Brooks Jensen.
I thought Jack Perry was pretty good in this match.
He was. And he refused to quit the heroic baby face. He's threatened to get light on fire. He won't quit.
Hey, let's get this party started. I'm like, what? What are we doing?
Well, that was an ironic line, right? Yeah, let's get this party started. So he douses him with gas and he brings out, this is where I thought he was going to go get the blowtorch. He brings out the little Bic lighter that you use.
No, though they had the two pack of the charcoal lighters. And I think one of them wasn't working, and so they got the other one out of the packet.
This
under the thing's
like the size of this pen and a little tiny flame. But you know, if you use doused in flame, I mean, that's enough. That's all you need. And he's threatening, and he's like, "You quit, or I'm going to light you on fire." And he won't quit. And then Matt Jackson, he's like, "It's enough. Just stop it." And he's like, "I won't stop unless you give me a TNT title match at Wembley Stadium." And Matthew's, fine, you've got it.
I was waiting for Matt to go, "Is that all you want? Okay, cool."
Yeah, I mean, you might as well. And then he's like, "No, that's not enough. You have to quit." And he's like, "Okay, fine, we quit. All right, match is over." That's it.
The only way we can save this ending, which sucked, is if Jack Perry has lost faith in the Bucks.
Oh.
For quitting on him when he was willing to take the fire, even though he looked relieved. But he should man up and go, "No, I took those kendo stick shots. I took that unprotected shot to the head. And look, I was willing to burn for you guys. And you guys quit on me. And maybe Okada's joining him a little bit. Maybe Hangman's going to be angry no matter what. And maybe it becomes them starting to turn up. Maybe the Bucks aren't good enough for the Elite anymore type of a thing.
Yeah, and then I'm sure Hangman's not too happy about it either.
Well, yeah, I mean this could be Perry's ascent into leadership.
Oh, is that all I needed to do? I could have threatened a light swerve on fire, and I could have got a world title match.
Yeah, I just had him handcuffed. If you told me to bring gasoline, I would have. That would have been fine. Yeah. You know, yeah, that kind of thing.
It was so anticlimactic at the end, and I'm watching this match, and again, like you, I was kind of into the spectacle, and they were doing a lot of crazy shit to each other and everything, and I'm like, you know me, I always rate the matches, and you know, I'm like, okay, four and a quarter, four and a half, you know, we're kind of getting there.
When Bowens came in and the barbed wire, the razor wire boards, oh, and the scissors and became FMW. It was it was that scene after Anchorman that got out of that escalated quickly.
But not only that, but again, he comes out from the barbed wire and he's not even bleeding. Like he's wrapped up. He's got one on his back and one on his chest.
Well, no, I meant when he took it out. But nah, you're right. But then there was also during the second towards the third, that second, when like they have the table in between the rings and he does the Froggy Bow elbow in between, and when it's Darby and Mark Briscoe cleaning house, that part was awesome.
Yes,
like Darby doing the death drop from the top of the cage was awesome.
Yeah, Darby did a thing where he climbed to the top and kind
of
like,
I was thinking Mark Briscoe was going to win the whole damn thing for them at first, just being cool, a house of fire. And I was also,
I thought Briscoe wanted the match with Jerry.
Yes, he did. Oh, yeah, damn you, Jack, because Jack Perry walked into his shot. He's cutting the promo during
there was
that
the
time.
One spot where Briscoe literally gave every single person a Dre driller, except he got to Okada, and that's where he didn't give Okada the Dre driller.
Yeah.
I love Okada. Yeah, so
he just should have said, that doesn't work for me, brother, and walked off.
I got tape of before the Suzuki Jericho match. They're talking about the chest, and I'm gonna bleed, make you bleed. And Jericho says, "That doesn't work for me, brother." And Suzuki said, "Fuck you!" And then he chopped him and made him bleed. Sorry. So yeah, that was that. So anyway, I'm watching this match, and I'm like four and a half, whatever. And then by the end, I was down to like 3 3/4. Like the end just totally took away from the
match. It is on the bottom tier for me of War Games matches. It really was. I mean, and it's not because of the work. It's just because the stories that they were telling just didn't fit.
And all that for a TNT title match?
Yes.
Like, you know, like we got so much higher stakes. We got the fate of the company at stakes. We got FTR who dying to get a match with the Bucks. But, you know, they could have just come in this match and threatened to set them on fire. You know.
Yes, that means that both Anarchy in the Arena and Blood and Guts was for a TNT title match.
Yeah.
In the end.
Yeah. Which, I mean, they're giving out like candy.
I mean, it's a fine title. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. But Jack Perry, I mean, what's he defended it once, I think, against like a jobber, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was that. That was Blood and Guts. And that's it. Like, I don't even know what's on for next week. I guess we got Chris Statlander and Willow, which I thought they were going to do the pay-per-view, but well, it's a proving ground match.
No, it's a title eliminator.
Same thing. What's the difference? Well, I guess, yeah, the difference is I think in a proving ground match, you get a title shot if you last 10 minutes. I think in a title eliminator, you have to beat them.
Yes.
Why does Chris Statlander need to do a title eliminator match? Why can't she just get a title match? I guess she's not in CMLL.
Correct.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
Yeah. This weekend we've got Hangman. We've got the what are those guys' names? The Lucha Bros and Pac are wrestling in CMLL in a 6-man against, I think, Mystico, Volador, and Mascara Dorada.
And I think Mystico's with the Lucha Brothers, isn't he? Or is it the Lucha
Brothers?
No, it's
Lucha Brothers and Pac. And then we got Max against Templario next week. They're booking better matches from AEW talent and CML than they are here, because I have no idea what's on TV next week. This weekend we got that wonderful battle royal. and a bunch of other matches that John couldn't be bothered to stick around.
Look,
and
they
watch.
Will announce what's on Dynamite on Collision, which everybody watches.
Exactly. Yeah, because it's Saturday of the weekend of the Olympics, and everyone, nobody's going to be watching the Olympics. They'll all be watching Collision. So, anyways, that was Blood and Guts. And yeah, and I think we hit our time. So
let's get out of here then.
Yeah, Jeff, do your plugs.
Follow me at Crap Game 13, arcane references and bad jokes and other wrestling things. I was on the Fight Game podcast this week, filling in for John LaRocca.
Ooh, great.
Thank you. So a couple people on the board thought I was good, too. I was kind of shocked that I got complimented, but they probably don't know I'm Crap Game 13. I also do a show on Voices of Wrestling called Shake Them Ropes. Chris Novembrino, formerly the reviewer of Lucha Underground, on Voices of Wrestling, and myself. Snarky look at the week in wrestling this week. WWE has cut a few people. When we're probably going to get talked and doing a discussion on Triple H and minority wrestlers of some kind. Also given the Bobby Lashley status in there. Plus any other news that breaks in the next couple of days. That'll drop sometime later this week.
All right. And I meant to put this up earlier, but Kevin made a point earlier in the show. Jarrett ref the match that Hangman lost in the Owen, and he cut Swerve loose tonight. So keep that in mind with whatever's going to happen this weekend. And for me, I got nothing else going on besides this show, as far as I know. So check us out next week here on Fight Game Media. And on
what's
the,
your Twitter handle?
Fight Game Media free feed. I got Paul Ace Fontaine on Twitter. I have a lot of good stuff on there. I might be, who knows, I might be on Wrestling Observer this week covering the UFC because there's a UFC pay-per-view this weekend. So I described what happened in the Suzuki Jericho match to someone on X, and he said, I'll pass. So, but I recommend that match if you want some bloody violence, literal bloody violence. Check it out. So for Jeff Hawkins, I've been Paul Fontaine, and this has been The Dynamite Show.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.